Here.
Alan Starn.
Here.
Shirley Brown.
Here.
Jack Foster.
Here.
Marita Gunderson.
Here.
Emil Mulbeck.
Here.
Good. We have a quorum. We'll go ahead and move on to approval agenda. I'd like to add one item, number 6, under new business. It'll be a building permit for Patricia Curtis, is going to be building a deck on her house. So we'll bring that up on 6, new business. Is there any other additions or deletions? Jordan, did you have anything?
No, Mayor Gardner, not this time.
Okay. Nothing else? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adopt the agenda with one addition.
This is Marita. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda with the addition.
Motion's been made by Marita. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Emil. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. Roll call vote, please.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yep. Very good. Motion carries. Moving right along to the consent agenda. We have 3 sets of minutes, one of the regular meeting of February 11th, minutes of the regular meeting of May 12th, and minutes of the emergency meeting on May 26th. Hopefully everybody had a chance to go through those, and if they have, are there any corrections or anything that you've seen maybe need to be corrected? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda. I'm sorry, did I miss somebody?
I'll make a motion to adopt the consent agenda. This is Shirley.
Motion's been made by Shirley. Do I have a second?
Alan.
Second by Alan. Thank you. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call vote, please.
Marita?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yep.
Emil?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. We'll move on to reports. Number 1 on the list is our finance officer, and I did hear Krista on her, I do believe, so I'll turn the floor over to you, Krista.
For April, sales tax was $33,711.29. We had some fish tax at $13,500.37. Did anybody have any questions about the finance report?
Not hearing any questions. Thank you, Krista. And we shall move on to number 2, and we have administrator's report. And Jordan, I will turn the floor over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Gardner. Good evening, Council. Not a lot to add from my report. Most of the items noted on here will be touched upon later in the packet. I just wanted to talk more about this ANTHC site visit slated for next month. The project that we had hoped to get taken care of this summer, the jumps lift stations and a main replacement on the sewer, was pushed back 1 year due to funding concerns. And it looks like even if the funding concerns had not been there, that just
due to current world affairs, it would not have taken place this summer anyway. So we're excited to get ANTHC out there. Also looking to see if we can get our remote maintenance worker out there as well, you know, get the whole gang there, work with Dennis and Dylan, just do some site visits and some fine tweaking. Pretty much everything else you see here we'll touch upon later throughout the packet. That's all I really have for now. Again, you know, most of this we'll touch upon later.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jordan. Questions? Not hearing any, we're going to move on to number three, our Department of Public Safety. Police Chief Hal, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. May picked up an activity, as we know, with the more people coming into town for the fisheries. The only major call, like I said last month, has been arson, which was investigated, an arrest was made, and that case was closed. We've been doing a lot of COVID-related patrols, going down to the harbor, to the airport, and other related activities as well. It seems like everybody's pretty much doing their social distancing and doing pretty well at that. The troopers are going to fly me and Mark out on the 18th and Dave and Brent in, and they'll be in town for 4 weeks, and then Mark and I will come back 4 weeks later for a position of 4 weeks after that, and we're hoping that there's the possibility, the troopers said that they may be able to fly us in as pairs every 2 weeks after that, depending on, you know, what kind of mandates we have and everything, you know, keeping in mind, you know, the COVID stuff. So we're not sure on that yet, but that's some sunshine on the horizon. I thought someone was asking a question. Sorry. We're going to be starting the some radio testing a little bit with the carriers for the 911 for Valdez. And other than that, we're just, you know, kind of hunkering down. We just got tested the other day from our exposure to the people on the ferry, and Mark and I will get tested tomorrow. If that comes back negative, then we'll be clear to get out and about again.
Hey, is that it?
Other than just, I don't know if you want me to bring up about the fire EMS or wait until that comes up in the budget.
I'll just wait until the budget. One thing, though, I wanted to comment, Hal, and we talked a little bit about it in the workshop, is this address situation. Maybe you can get us links so the board can have a chance to, the council can have a chance to look at that, and then we could discuss it in our next workshop.
Yes, absolutely. I apologize. I forgot about that. Yes, Mark's going to work on getting a link so you guys can take a look at that on the plats and then make any comments. And but it looks pretty good, and I think it'll work really well for us.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Hal? Comments? Not hearing any. Thank you again. Moving right along, number four is our public works manager. As you know, he's not here. He's going to be coming up soon, and we'll touch base with that again down on the agenda a little bit. The boys have been really busy. We're in the middle of getting started, so the garbage trucks are going nonstop daily. We're filling those cans up on a regular basis. They've been grading roads. It's just been kind of nonstop for those folks, so they've been busy with that. Dennis is out of town getting some dental done, and Dylan's been busy there. So we seem to be on top of everything in that respect. So I'll stop there unless there isn't any questions for Public Works. Not hearing any, we'll go ahead and move on to the Harbor Master. And Mr. Holmberg, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Yeah, good evening. Got the travel left. We're running at 65%. Got three motors we built. Two work. Then we did get parts for two more. Got one more rebuilt. Like I said, it's running at 65%. I mean, there's just major issues with the travel left. this year. You know, the wiring is really bad. And, you know, I got a text guy scheduled to come in. Not sure when. Greg never got back to me yet. He's working on it there. But we need to do get a bunch more work done to it. And I'm not sure if we're going to have to get a hydraulic guy in to look at the hydraulics here also. You know, because the more we've been using it, the worse it's getting. And noises, I didn't call and ask the guys how it was launching the Cameron, but I know the heavier boat, when it goes down, it squeals quite a bit more. There. On that there, the east wall dock crane got certified. The flatbed is down. Hopefully it should be up and running again this week. There. You know, it's just been a battle down there this year. You know, everything is just breaking. You know, the biggest concern is, or the problem is, you know, lack of maintenance over the years. I think that's about all I got.
Okay, I noticed in your deal, I'd like to thank Alan Starnes again too. I noticed in your report, he's been extremely helpful with this situation, and just extend a thank you out to you there, Alan.
Yes, I overlooked that. I am very grateful for him coming up, and he's very knowledgeable on that there stuff. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, you guys are very welcome.
With that, questions, comments for Douglas?
I have one.
Go ahead.
That's Jack here. I'm just wondering if what the problem is exactly besides the hydraulics on that lift. I noticed similar sized boats to mine have been hauled out. I've been waiting since February to get hauled out. And little Birdie told me here a week or 10 days ago that everything was ready to haul me out. You said you weren't going to haul me out. So I'd like an answer to that.
Well, I don't know what little Birdie you had to telling you that. But he did come up, and yeah, I did lift some boats, and as we did lift them and put them back in, it got extremely worse. You know, this machine is 38 years old. The report I got, these machines run the lifespan of 35 to 40 years. We're at 38 years, so the life of this travel lift is about at the end. It is. I mean, you know, I got a price quote. And that's not everything. I totaled it up and deleted the tires and the pump. That comes to $133,000 just on parts. And he said he's not even going to put all the other small items down, so who knows what that price will be. And then if we go ahead and, you know, he couldn't even figure out how much it's going to cost to have it. Have the service guys come up and work on it. From my experience in shipyards, you know, it's the same thing. You know, so we're probably looking at a total just to rebuild it, to make it survive two more years. We're probably looking at $300,000 plus, just so we can make it two more years. You know, and I just don't feel comfortable after, you know, these boats, you know, and it's just getting worse and worse as time goes on.
Well, maybe you and I and Glenn can have a talk here when the season's over, because, like I say, when I see other people getting hauled and dumped, and I'm sitting here and I've been after you for 3 months, and I don't get...
Yeah, well, Jack, you know, I've been there too, and I got a lot of other things on my plate here too, you know. I mean, you got a phone and you got a finger...
Okay, guys. Thank you for the comment. We'll get together, Jack and Douglas. We'll at a later date here, and when we get a little more time and sit down. So, but I appreciate the comments. Are there any others for Douglas?
Well, I wasn't quite done yet.
Oh no. Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. But who's rebuilding our hydraulic pump?
What was that now? I didn't hear you.
I was asking you who was rebuilding our hydraulic pumps on that lift.
I had three rebuilt here in Anchorage at Alaska Hydraulic. Two of them worked, one didn't. We still can't figure it out. I and Alan had that one apart and put it back together and didn't. Then Alan rebuilt one. So I got parts for one more to rebuild. On that note, there also should be a motor. They're not pumps, they're motors. There should be one here in Anchorage. I'll call Ace tomorrow and see if it's there. It should have been here Monday. So we can get one motor there, and hopefully we can start doing 10 straps instead of the 8. But, you know, these boats, you know, especially when they pushed the Crusader down, too. I was sitting there listening to it, and it wasn't nice to hear that noises in there. You know, my biggest fear is, you know, one of those motors going out and the boat just slamming down and getting wrecked.
Okay, well, that was the end of my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Not hearing any. Appreciate it. Thanks, Douglas. We're going to go ahead and move on to hearings, ordinance. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking about this here, too. Yeah, you know, and you know what? The parts on this here travel lift, too, lots of them are obsolete, so we don't even know if we'll be able to get any more parts on certain ones.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that before. We definitely have some, it'll be nice to meet face-to-face in July so we can chat more about these, so it'll be a good time to get back and look at each other's and speak a bit about some of these things. So, but I appreciate it. Thanks, Douglas.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and move on to hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. Number one this evening is Ordinance 2020-02. It's our FY21 budget. It'll be our second reading, and I'd entertain a motion to put it on the floor for discussion.
I'll move 2020-02.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. It's 2020-01, but thanks, Jack, for the motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Emil.
Second by Emil. With that, can I have a roll call, please?
Emil?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
This is the budget we're talking about, then. If my packet says 2020-02. Is it just a typo? I don't have
yes.
The other.
No, it's just
okay,
a typo,
yes.
Jack.
Thank you. Yes.
Alan.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Motion's passed. We'll open up for discussion, and we'll start with Jordan.
Thank you, Mayor Gardner. So before you for the consideration is the proposed FY21 budget for the city of Sandpoint. More so this year than ever, we go into the budget cycle with a lot of uncertainty. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in terms of fish volume. Fish price is also unknown at this point. It has not been that great in other fisheries across the state for salmon. And then we also have the whole COVID-19 thing that can throw a wrench in at any time. So I made a chart, not the fanciest chart, but I think it does illustrate where the bulk of the revenues for the general fund come from and where the expenses for the general fund go. Like most government entities, we get the most of our funds through tax. So direct taxes levied by the city is roughly 55%, give or take, and that it fluctuates year in, year out. And other revenues come from state revenue sharing with fisheries, payment in lieu of taxes from Trident, and billing rental revenues. So those are our main flows of revenue. There's a whole bunch of other smaller ones that add up, frankly. Our general fund expenses, again, it's mostly salary, so you have administrative costs, personnel costs, fringe benefits, workers' comp, PERS, unemployment insurance, stuff like that. So the public fund pays for administrative costs, our public safety, public works. So that's the main driver of expenses. And then, you get to our liability insurance. That's a pretty good-sized chunk. And then just the expenses to keep, the lights on and all the city buildings, the street lights, buildings heated, buildings clean, buildings maintained. So that's where the money goes. So just looking at other communities similar size, our expense ratio is fairly similar. So we're not out of line by any stretch of the imagination. So you're looking forward to this year, not the strongest forecast, unfortunately. And then with NOAA canceling the biomass surveys, that bodes poorly for the city having a winter fishery. As you know, last year we took roughly $145,000 hit from the winter fisheries, to say nothing of impact to community members, which is much greater. That's, if we face it again, it could be another notch tightening our belt. One saving grace we are coming across right now is that some employee time can be reimbursed through CARES Act funding, so we're going to do that to the fullest extent possible. It's also defensible because we will get funded at some point for it. And we'll also be able to assign some costs after July 1 through December 31st towards CARES Act funding. But I don't have a number for that right now moving forward. We'll probably be able to get back $100,000-$150,000 in the current fiscal year and probably $75,000 possibly for the upcoming fiscal year, but don't hold me to that. That's just a guess. So obviously we're looking at not the most favorable budget. Right now projecting a deficit, roughly $400,000. Again, it's a very pessimistic budget, but I don't think it's going to be as bad, but I think it's better to come in erring on the side of caution than coming in and just allocating funds everywhere and then getting caught when the tide goes out a little bit short. As referenced earlier, one potential expense to be included down a lot, this upcoming fiscal year is a fire chief / EMS director position. Currently, the way the city is set up, the fire chief position is vacant, but it's a 20-hour per week position. And the EMS chief position is a stipend position with no set hours. So, bearing in mind the cost to hire the person and then the fringe benefits and training and other expenses associated with it, it could very well be a full-time position, for the next 18 to 24 months to spin both EMS and the fire department back up. It's a position that's going to have to be somebody in town full time unless they're after, training or something. It is an expense, obviously. And again, asking for this position to be funded, given the circumstances we face now and are looking forward, for the next year at least, it is a tough ask. Obviously the priority of the community safety, both, on the fire side and the medical side, is important. We have seen the benefit of having a trained, EMS squad. It is all volunteer, as well as, the need for a person who can take the lead when it comes to the fire department. It's great having volunteers. They do a good job, but ultimately, we need to have one person in charge who sets the tone and can, be that professional leader. So when, God forbid, something does happen, the city can respond accordingly. That's my report. If there's any questions on specifics, please let me know. I admit there's probably a typo or two or number flubbed here and there in the budget. That's on me. But it's, again, it's similar to last year, and it's probably a little bit leaner.
Hey, very good. Thanks, Jordan. I'm not sure how to deal to. Can we do this in the July meeting when we sit down in our workshop? Would that be okay? It'd be sure nice that we could sit and look at each other's and bounce all the stuff off each other rather than on the telephone.
If it's adopted, if it's passed now, it can be amended any time throughout the fiscal year, but we do have to have a budget in place by July 1 if it's adopted and approved. So it can be adopted now as is, and then we can always go back at any time, regardless of whatever happens, and then adjust anything in the budget.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm suggesting.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Any other comments, questions for Jordan? Not hearing any, I'd entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2020-01. Did I lose everybody? Are we still here?
This is Shirley. I'll move to adopt Ordinance.
A motion been made by Shirley. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Was that Amo?
Yes, and Jack, I guess. Either one.
Oh, okay.
I heard Amo, so we'll get the next one, Jack. Thank you, guys. With that, any further discussion? Not hearing any, roll call, please.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack.
Yep.
Alan.
Yes.
Emil.
Yes.
Danny.
Yes.
Marita.
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. Thank you. With that, we're going to move on to number two. It's Resolution 20-6. It's acceptance of the coronavirus relief funds. And it's pretty straightforward, but I'm going to let Jordan talk to this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, this is a fairly straightforward resolution. By passing this resolution, the city will become eligible for CARES Act funding. This resolution is required by the state in order for them to release funds. And upon this being passed, if we get signed, I'll get the resolution in tomorrow, and we should have the funds by next week. How we choose to spend those funds is covered later on in the packet. So this is just about the resolution and no action with the funds.
Okay. Thank you, Jordan. With that, I'd entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 20-06.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 20-06.
Motion's been made by Emil. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Danny. Thank you. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. Roll call, please.
Danny?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Motion carries. Thank you. Nothing under old business this evening. New business, number one, is the PERS audit. And, Jordan, I will hand it back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So every 10 years, give or take, the State of Alaska's Department of Administration's Retirement and Benefits Division audits municipalities across the state that participate in PERS, which is something like 97% of them. So the city drew the short straw recently, and the state audited our calendar year 2018 financials, not fiscal year 2018, as I reported earlier, mistakenly. There was one major finding and several minor findings and suggestions. While the city does not agree with the outcome of the audits, we needed to make a change when it comes to staffing. I've emailed everybody a copy of the reports. The reason it was not in the packet was because the packet was assembled before we had a chance to talk with the lawyers and the person affected, which is Mr. Stokes. So as a result, we have had to terminate the current employment agreement with Mr. Stokes, and we have offered him an employment agreement substantially similar to the one he had. However, this employment agreement requires his participation in PERS. The state, and again, we disagree, said that his role was PERS eligible, and we disagreed and paid him accordingly. So we are working with our auditors to craft a response to the state, what that response is going to look like, and any action we'll have to take as a result of the audit, other than the personnel change, remains to be seen. So that was our PERS audit. And again, we don't agree, but that doesn't seem to matter.
Thank you, Jordan, for the update. Any questions, comments on this portion? I think Jordan just mentioned he will email you that, so you'll have a chance to read up on that audit, and we can discuss it more after that. So thank you, Jordan.
Sure.
Moving on, new business number two, VIP Taxes and Consulting, the LLC contract renewal, and this is in your packet. And Jordan, I'll let you talk to it.
Thank you.
Number two.
This is substantially similar as last year. IRENA will help with audit preparation, including reporting compliance, as well as a sales tax audit. IRENA, you know, comes up, helps Krista with audit prep. Similar to last year, we are looking at another single federal audit this upcoming for this current fiscal year, FY20. The way accounting rules work is that because the city received over $750,000 in federal assistance, that triggers the threshold for a single federal audit. Now, that's federal rules, and even though the city had, you know, none of the funds were spent by the city really had no say in how the funds were spent. You know, the city didn't hire anybody. The federal government doesn't care. We need a single federal audit. That's the way it goes. So, again, similar to last year, and because of the DOT, that will trigger the single federal audit. And then also, you know, looking forward to next year, both with ANTHC construction as well as CARES Act funding, we'll definitely trigger it again for the following year. So that's the price we pay.
Very good. Thank you, Jordan. With that, I would suggest that we bring IRENA back on for those reasons. There's three things we need her to help get rolling this year. So if we're all on the same page, I'd entertain a motion to bring IRENA back for another year.
I'll make the motion, Mr. Mayor, to bring IRENA back.
Okay, motion's made by Jack. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second, Mabel.
Second by Amel. Thank you. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. Roll call, please.
Jack?
Yep.
Amel?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes, this is Shirley.
Alan?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Very good. The motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to number three, the ANTHC ICDBG grant funding application. And Jordan, I will let you touch on that again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So in conjunction with ANTHC, the Alaska Tribal Native, Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, we're applying for funds through a CARES Act-funded Indian Community Development Block Grant in order to upgrade the water treatment plant. You know, right now, the way the plant, frankly, is over-engineered for the use it has, so that causes some issues with the pumps and backwash. So this project, the goal of this project is to correct the deficiencies in the system. And again, this is not a reflection on Dylan or Dennis. It's just the way the plant was designed and the way it's being used. So one of the requirements for this funding application is to publish the notice around town, which Shannon did, three different places, and it's been up. We haven't had any comments on the project. So when I report back to ANTHC tomorrow, I'll let them know that we discussed it. It's on the agenda. We'll have the minutes when they're approved in July. So it's just a formality, really. You know, we're not guaranteed funding, but we are applying, and this is one of the requirements to apply.
Very good. Thank you, Jordan. You didn't need any action at this time, then?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments or discussion on this item? Not hearing any. We're going to move on to new business number four, our health insurance renewal. And again, I will turn the floor over to Jordan.
Okay, so now the greatest news. We're looking at a 21% increase in FY21 for health insurance costs. That also, by health insurance, I mean it's health, dental, and vision. You know, so right now, each employee who participates pays $25 per pay period or $50 per month, roughly, as the employee contribution. You know, given our situation and the steep jump in premium costs, I'm asking the council to consider upping the contribution from $25 to $50. I poked around. Solutions East does not charge their employees for health insurance, and it's a $25 monthly, I believe, contribution for council members or assembly members. No? Oh, sorry. No, assembly members don't pay. My error. Also, their rates did not go up this year. They actually decreased. So good for them, I guess, but not our situation. Obviously. So it's a council decision. You can take action or not. I just put it out there.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. What are the council's wishes? I know we discussed it this afternoon. We definitely need to renew it. I guess the question on the floor is, do we keep it the same with the $25 period, or pay period, or do we up it to $50?
This is Amel here. I just think that while we're going through and everything, that we have to keep it at the 25. I mean, taking another, you know, $50 out a month. I know it's hard times and all, but, you know, especially with the city and everybody else. But, I mean, taking another 25 out of paycheck, it's $50 a month. That's, you know, it's still taken away from, you know, our employees. So that's the way I think on that one.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thanks for the comment. Emil, anybody else? Not hearing you, then I'm assuming that we would entertain a motion to keep renew it as it is.
I'll make a motion.
Motion's been made by Emil. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Danny. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Alan?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Shirley?
I'm going to say no.
Marita?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Jack?
I am also going to say no.
Okay, motion does pass, not unanimously, 4-2. With that, we were going to move on to new business number 5, the COVID-19 update. And Jordan, I will turn the floor back over to you.
Once again, thank you, Mayor Gardner. Everybody's favorite subject. So, you know, this memo was dated June 2nd. There's been quite a few developments since then. One of the most important ones is the state has lifted its out-of-state traveler mandate. So previously, anybody coming into the state who was not considered an essential worker was subject to a 14-day mandatory isolation period. That has been lifted. So now anybody coming from out-of-state, again, who is not an essential worker, can either provide proof of a negative test, no later than 72 hours from their departure, or they can get a test upon arrival within 72 hours. Or if they don't want to do that, they can also do their 14-day isolation period. It's on them. You know, how the city wants to respond to that is up to the city. You know, we discussed a few different options during the workshop today. Talking with EATS, they have plenty of tests. You know, they aren't going to deny anybody a test who, you know, for good reason. You know, one option would be to modify the current 14-day voluntary isolation period for anybody coming in who's non-essential, and make it a five-day isolation period. And then, you know, after the fifth day, get the test, and once it's negative, the person can go back to normal activities. That appears to be a compromise between, you know, free for all and keeping the current restrictions in place. Again, this would be voluntary, but the city does have the option to make it mandatory. But again, if the city were to do that, that opens up a whole another enforcement issue, the cost issue, and, you know, just talking to people around town, you know, there's been a lot of people have been compliant. People that haven't, that's more lack of knowledge than anything else. It hasn't really been, you know, willful. So I think people, you know, recognize the seriousness of the situation, and, you know, this would strikes a good balance between, you know, again, the free-for-all and a harsher mandate. So we'll, we can make, I guess we'll need a motion on that later on. Next thing, I obviously, you know, what's developing with the air, with the flood situation. The bankruptcy sale and the result of that is going to determine, you know, the future of air service in the region, and especially to Sandpoint. You know, the possibility of getting essential air service up and running again
you know, it's out there, but just, you know, having spoken with the state DOT, their inclination is to see, to wait to, you know, see things shake out and go from there. You know, clearly this is an issue where we should partner with the borough and other communities in the region, but again, you know, we need to put standpoint first. You know, we don't have the scheduled service right now, and that is a problem. Again, you know, we do thank the borough for their work to get service to Cold Bay, but you know, it's not a long-term solution for our community. So moving on, you know, there's two bars in Sandpoint. They're closed right now at the discretion of Schumigan. You know, if and when they reopen, again, that's a decision to be made by Schumigan. You know, just looking around Anchorage, there's various levels of safety precautions being taken. You know, some places it's a free-for-all, others are much stricter. Again, that's assuming a decision. You know, as noted earlier in the workshop today, you know, a private employer does have the right to require any visitors or shoppers to wear a face mask. It is a private business. They do have that right. And if a person does not wish to comply with the business requirements, they can be trespassed. It's at the discretion of the business. But just looking, you know, around town, I don't see a need for the city to take an official policy. I think it's something that it should be made by the businesses at their discretion. All right, so CARES Act funding, everybody's probably second favorite topic. You know, the city will be city is eligible for up to $1.2 million. Our initial distribution is about $264,000, I think, or $284,000. So what we've done so far is we're assigning staff time to that funding. So once we get the paperwork sent into the state, we get the funds transferred to the bank account, we'll go back, file claims against staff time that was put towards, you know, COVID-19 response, preparation, and all that. So we'll do it for public safety, Douglas's position, and my position. So that's some funds, you know, accounted for. The other use of the funds, that's kind of up in the air right now. There's some good programs put in place by communities across the state. You know, some communities did a cash dividend. That probably is a little bit harder to pull off in Sandpoint, because the community did that in Skagway, and they had their tourism industry just decimated this summer. You know, other communities are funding nonprofits. Other communities are putting funds towards schools. Obviously, there's an application process for all of this. Some communities are doing small business relief, you know, where the amount of, you know, a business has to show an economic loss due to COVID-19. So there's a lot of options out there, you know. As mentioned earlier, the Alaska Municipal League has been a tremendous help, you know, during this whole thing, organizing teleconferences, which there's a lot of them, but they're usually pretty good. A lot of information and emails, you know, clarifications. Alaska Municipal League has hired somebody strictly to help communities, small communities like ours, you know, navigate the paperwork and eligibility. So giving some money to Municipal League, I think, would be a good idea. You know, we have some nonprofits in town who could probably have been hurt. You know, also things like Close Up or the Senior Trip. You know, the school kids who can't fundraise right now puts them in a tough spot. So, you know, making up their shortfall is an option. But, you know, we do have restrictions. We can't just cut checks because, you know, it's fun. You know, ultimately, the city is going to get audited, both our annual audit as well as an audit from the feds down the line. So while we can spend the money, we have to do it within the vague guidelines they've given out. You know, some communities are more aggressive than others. I think we can spend a fair portion of it and do it with a straight face and be able to justify, you know, why we spent funds. You know, Alan had a great idea today about, you know, portable bathrooms down the harbor, you know, things like that, where it's a public safety, it's a public health concern, you know, those are justifiable. You know, we just bought a bunch of cleaning supplies, office reopens. I mean, it's things like that, you know, But again, you know, there will be an accounting for these funds one day, and you know, the last thing we want is to have the Fed say, "Hey, you know, how you spent these, you know, this portion of the funds isn't going to fly, and you knew it, so you, you know, you have to pay us back $50,000." We just don't want to be in that position. So, you know, as again, you will have the July workshop. I'll bring in some more concrete proposals, as well as some dollar figures and maybe a grant program for community nonprofits, and some other ideas. But, you know, we are seeing communities across the state implement some pretty, I don't want to say clever, but innovative programs that, you know, get the money to people that are, that have taken it pretty hard. So that's where we stand on CARES Act funding. Any questions on anything I've said so far? You have questions, comments, criticism?
Okay, Jordan, with that, what are you looking for some action then on this item? Was one of them was the travel? And another thing that you didn't mention that we did talk about this afternoon was the 4th of July festivities. I was getting the feeling that maybe we won't go there this year.
That seemed to be the consensus earlier today. And again, you know, it is a community fundraiser for an organization that does great things for Sandpoint. So even if it has to be canceled, you know, the city could, you know, figure out what, you know, let's say they use the past 5 years as a basis for, you know, compensation.
Okay, I think that would be a good deal. So what are you looking for as an action item on this one?
So the action item would be, what travel policy does the city want to implement in light of what the state's done, the spread of the virus, and so moving forward, what will the travel policy be of the city? You know, it's, you know, five days seems to be a reasonable, you know, 5 days and then test seems to be reasonable. You know, we don't have a lot of travel going on right now. And again, this would not apply to essential workers, which frankly is most of our travel at this point. But nonetheless, you know, once the decision is made, we will communicate to the radio station through Facebook, through the borough, through the usual outlets to, you know, get the word out that things have changed, here's the policy, and let's go from there.
Okay, I kind of like the five-day deal, but I'm not speaking for the council, so maybe if I may, let's just ask the council. Maybe we'll start with Danny. What are your thoughts?
Yes, sir, I think the five-day deal is fine. That makes kind of in the middle of everything we talked about this afternoon, so I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. Thank you. Alan?
I can live with that. That sounds good.
Okay. Okay, very good. Shirley, I'm sorry you weren't here this afternoon, but you kind of get the gist of that.
No, but I wanted to bring up that those three American seafood boats just quarantined their crew for 5 days before they put them on board. So I'm wondering if 5 days is enough.
Okay. That was 85 or something people. Jack?
That was one boat. Now they have two more boats that have...
Oh, okay.
The virus.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that... Ooh. Okay, Jack?
Yeah, well, you know, I can live with the five-day deal. I just highly suggest from things that I've seen and read there recently about the legality that, yes, we run anything that we do by an attorney.
Okay. And, Jordan, if we did this, it all comes down to enforcement. That's when things get interesting. Is that correct, Jordan?
Yes, yes. You know, again, currently our mandate is optional. We can also make the new mandate optional as well. You know, people have been pretty good about following the optional mandate in the past. I don't see why it would continue in the future. If somebody is blatantly flouting the mandate, you know, there is legal recourse, but that would be the very last step we'd want to take as a community and as a city. But that option does exist in the back pocket if needed.
Okay. I want to jump back to the council members. Marita?
I'm more for the 7 days, but I'm just glad that we're moving forward with something, I guess.
Okay. Thank you, Marita. Amos?
Well, like I said in the workshop, I said 7 days, but it looks like, I mean, whatever is the state's going to mirror, I guess is kind of what we are going to go with. And, you know, it'd be nice, but then it'd be nice to have a test, you know, at the end of that to make sure to see if, you know, after 5 days that they're negative or positive before coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So with that and hearing a couple little different things there, it's looking like that we're going to just mirror the state. Is that what we're looking at, Jordan? What are your thoughts?
Well, the state requires somebody with a test taken within 72 hours of their flight arriving in the state, or upon arrival, if you don't have proof, you have to go get one and test negative within 72 hours of arrival. If a person doesn't want to get tested, period, they can just isolate for 14 days. So our policy would be stricter, but we also lack the resources that, you know, the road system has.
Correct. So with that, what are the council's wishes? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Marita.
So would this be for people that are flying into Sandpoint or just out of state?
This would be anybody coming into Sandpoint who is not considered an essential worker under the state of Alaska guidelines.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
And there was someone else just before Marita?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the only thing I might have some concerns with is mirroring the state, stealing the testamina, don't want me to work out so good, so I put that forth.
I agree with you on that one. So are we tending to lean toward the five-day deal, or what is the council's thoughts?
Yeah, I think 5 days will work great as long as we get a test also.
A test at the end of that 5 days, correct?
Correct.
Is that a motion, Emil?
That's my new motion.
Motion's been made by Emil. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Danny. Any further discussion? Okay, Jordan, go ahead.
This is Hal.
Go ahead, Hal.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I'm kind of a little confused on, so are we looking at doing a mirroring the state or doing a mandate with an ordinance?
It wouldn't be an ordinance. It'd be like we've done in the past. If, correct me if I'm wrong, Jordan, that we urge people to do this, and pretty much everybody did. Is that how it would go, Jordan?
Correct. Yeah, there's no ordinance required for this. This is, you know, the city does reserve the right to make an ordinance requiring it, but this action does not require an ordinance. This is a voluntary request from the city. So again, this would apply for anybody coming from out of state or anybody coming from within state to Sandpoint.
Correct. Did that help?
Okay, I just want to make sure on the enforcement end of it. I just want to make sure I wasn't misunderstanding.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion, questions, comments?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Shirley.
Okay, I have a concern because the state put out this bulletin on these people that traveled on the Trustamina. Their recommendation was if you were on that ship to stay home, stay away from people, and take your temperature twice a day and all this for 14 days. So I don't know how is that enforced. It's way different.
Glenn, actually, I can enlighten on that. I just posted something on that about an hour ago on our Facebook page that we received from the state. The state is not requiring those that were on the ferry to the 14-day quarantine. They basically put out a statement saying that basically to self-monitor and to wear masks around people and keep up social distancing. So that has, again, in the last day, changed from what they originally were talking about, and they have laxed that as well. So it says, out of an abundance of caution, one, to wear a mask face covering when in public, two, minimize exposure to others, maintaining at least 6 feet distance as able, self-monitor for symptoms twice a day and get tested for COVID-19 if any symptoms arrive, and consider getting tested in 7 to 14 days after leaving the ship if no symptoms arise. So they are not requiring those who are on the ship to quarantine.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Hal. And yes, this is ever-changing. It seems to be sometimes hourly. Any other discussion, comments to the motion?
Well, I do it, Glenn.
Go ahead, Douglas.
Yeah, I'm in Anchorage right now, and I'm coming back in on Saturday and scheduled to. So, and I'm considered essential, so even when I'm in town now, for the 5 days, I guess when I go to work, I guess I'll be wearing my mask, right?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to get that clarified, that's all.
Yes. Other questions and comments? Not hearing any. Could you repeat that back to us, Shannon? I make sure we got this correct on the motion. 5 day rule. Is everybody comfortable with that? We do have a motion and a second on the floor. And Jordan, you'll be able to get something off to the radio station, or?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and again, a strong urgency coming from the community standpoint. So if there isn't any further discussion, I would call for the roll, please.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley? Shirley?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Motion carries. And Jordan, I think Ashton is listening, or Austin is listening in, so we can get him something for tomorrow.
Of course.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I know this is a tough one, and I have to say I think everyone's dealing with it pretty well in Sandpoint. I kudos to everybody on keeping up on what they need to do. So with that, I'm going to move on to number 6 under new business, and it's the building permit application. It's falling under Patricia Curtis. What she's doing, she's looking to build a deck on her house. It will run the length of the house. On the west side of the house, 42 feet by 12 feet, it does fall within all the setbacks. and it will be in a residential area. It'll be a deck, single-family home, and it will adhere to everything, and I just didn't want it to hold up for so they could get building on it. And I would suggest do pass.
Are you looking for a motion, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, I am, Jack.
I'll make a motion for Patricia and Rob there to approve her petition.
Okay, motion's been made by Jack. Do I have a second?
Second by Emil.
Second by Emil. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. Roll call, please.
Emil?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We'll get this off to them tomorrow. And we'll move on to the next item is public comments. Are there any public comments in the meeting this evening? Not hearing any, I'll close that portion of the meeting and move on to council comments. And we'll start with you this evening, Amo.
All right. Good evening. I just want to thank all the people that were really involved with getting the rest of those boats off the pad. I know it was a stressful time there with the season coming up, with the harbor crew and the maintenance crew, whoever worked on that. It's really nice to see. I guess there's only a couple boats that are left up there. And that's something that, you know, us as city council is going to have to try to find to get that up and going, because we're going to start losing boats up there if we don't. And it's really nice to see that they actually did get in the water before the season did open. And for those that got on the ferry and came back to town, you know, just think about it. I mean, there's extra cases that came up. It wasn't just the one. Now there's extra cases that came off that boat. Please quarantine and, you know, wear your mask and stay away for about 5 days, that week, and then get tested again. And that's about all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Emil. With that, we will move to Marita.
I'm on the same boat as Emil. Please do your part, and I have no other comments.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Marita. We'll move on to Jack.
Yes, I just basically want to mirror what Emil said there. I suggested before we look at getting a loan or whatever it takes to get that gravel lift fixed, but I believe it's fixable. The price for a new one is going to shock everybody. Other than that, we've got a fleet here that needs to be serviced, and that's our outlet. I can't imagine leaving it sit there, so I think in July we ought to bring that forth and discuss it. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks. Good points, Jack. I appreciate it. Shirley?
I don't have anything to add right now.
Okay. Thank you, Shirley. Alan?
I've gotten... I just got the one thing, and I guess it's my feeling about the travel lift. And, you know, I think, like Jack said, we don't have the money to buy a new one. You know, even if there's a grant out there with 50% matching funds, we don't have it. You know, we really got to look at it hard and, you know, not just replace everything, but replace the parts that need it. You know, do a better job of maintaining what we got. You know, we just can't afford to get rid of that thing, and we really should get, you know, a couple of mechanics out here. If we need an electrical guy, I'm not even sure that's what we need. I agree. I think, you know, it's the hydraulic side that's giving us a problem right now, you know, that I'm puzzling on, and you know, it's difficult to tear into things when you need it. So now while all the boats are in the water, you know, once we get the last of the boats in the water, we need to get somebody out here, get that thing stripped down, looked at, figured out exactly what we need, and sorted out. That there's that 1.2 million that number was thrown out to buy a new one. Well, that doesn't include the freight. That doesn't include reassembling it here, you know, and the commissioning costs, and you know, it'll just go up from there. We just simply can't afford that kind of stuff. And then the second item was when we look at our budget, and you know, we look at the upcoming year without the cod season. You know, the city's going to hurt. It's really going to hurt, and you know, I just know that in the private industry that's supporting this, the tax revenue, right, is cut. You know, we cut. Just to get an idea, the maintenance department down here is five people short of what I had last year. So we just all have to do more. Fewer of us have to do more, and it's the only way you can. We look at our budgets, 39% budget. With a 21% increase for those people, insurance increase for those people, coming at us. So 40% of the city's budget is labor. We have to look at ways to consolidate. We have to, look at ways to work together as a team. I know I've said this once before. I think it was in a workshop, but I'm going to say it on the record. It blows my mind that our Public Works Department and our harbor crew can't get along. That's got to end. We got to bury some hatchets, or axes or mauls or whatever they are, and start working together as a team. And if that can't, happen, then, those of us, who have willingly taken the role to lead this city and try to do the best we can for this city, we have to do something about it, and that's not something any of us want to do. I mean, I hope we can bury them all and get together and start to work and get together as a team. I think we got to have some creative solutions here, and it isn't going to happen as a bunch of individuals. So I am looking forward to next month when we can all hopefully sit around and talk in the workshop and try to sort some of this stuff out. Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, Alan. Very good points. And it will be good to sit down with everybody and we look at each other across the room, and we definitely need to get some of these things straightened away. So thank you again, Alan. And I will end with Danny.
Yep, I have nothing to see with you, sir, other than you need to travel this fix, and we all know that. So other than that, good luck and good fishing.
Okay. Thank you, Danny, and same to everybody. Good luck and good fishing. With that, I'd entertain a motion of adjournment.
Oh, we got a meeting date?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you, Amo. We're going to be having a meeting on Wednesday, July 8th. And with that, for doing a workshop, and I don't know if you're open to this, Jordan, what are your thoughts on coming in on Saturday the 4th and then leaving on the 11th? You probably need a little vacation.
No, that's fine. It gives me more chances to get in. I guess there's obviously some things to do around town. And the engineers, they're bright people. They can figure out how to get to standpoint on the 8th. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I just think it might be good if you come out, Jordan, a little early, and we have a lot of things that we need to chat about, and if we can get you here, the Monday and Tuesday, you can make your rounds.
Absolutely. I'll get my ticket booked.
Okay. Does that work for the council, the 8th of July?
Works for me.
That works
sounds
for me.
Good to me.
Could I add something to my comment?
Yes, you may, Jack. Go ahead.
I just want to put forth my thanks to Alan for all his help with the travel of trying to get things going and out.
move things forward. And yeah, that spirit of cooperation, I 100% agree with him. We need to discuss that. We have a shop up on the hill, I've said before, and it needs to be utilized. It's for the city, not for a particular section of the city. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Jack. With that, we will shoot then for July 8th for the council meeting, and we should be able to do the normal 2 o'clock workshop. We're going to need at least a few hours. So I think that'll all work out good. If I'm not hearing any opposition to that, we will shoot for that July 8th, and then I would entertain a motion of adjournment.
I'm making a motion to adjourn.
Motion been made by Emil. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Marita.
Second by Marita. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, same sign.